church. This is Christ's church. You know what? This is Jesus' church. I'm just His vessel. I'm His servant. I'm His minister. You know what? Christ bought and He purchased this church with His own blood. It's His church. It's His church. And Paul's attitude was, you know what? No matter which way this thing goes, I don't know if I'm going to be killed or if I'm going to be set free, but no matter which way this thing goes, I just want Christ to be made to look great. Amen. Whether it's life, me set free, or whether it's death, I just want Jesus to be made to look great. I want Jesus to be magnified. I just want Him to look good. I want Him to increase. You know what Paul's attitude is? Man, this isn't about me. It's not about me. It's about Christ and Him being magnified. Christian, do you know why God left you on this earth? After you got saved, why didn't He just take you to heaven? Why did He leave you in a world where there's sin and sorrow? And most of us in here, we're going to go through suffering before we die. Why would God leave us on an earth that's sin-cursed, where we're going to go through sorrow and we're going to go through suffering? Why would God do that? Here's why He did it. Because when you got saved and you trusted Him, Christ came to live inside of you. And Christ is in you so that now Christ, God put Christ in you so that Christ could be magnified through you. So that you could go out in the world, magnify Christ, and let Him live through you. Do you make Christ look great? Now that's just a rhetorical question. I certainly don't want you to answer that out loud, but do you make Christ look great? Whether it's at the gym, out on the ball field, at the mall, at your job, at college, at high school, in junior high, whatever club you may be a part of, wherever you go, whatever you do, do you make Christ look great? Do the members of Crossroads, do we go out into the community of Daytona Beach and Port Orange and Holly Hill and Ormond Beach and Ponce Inlet and all the Daytona Beach Shores and all these areas, do we filter out into the community and do we go out and do we make Christ look great by the way we live our life? Do we magnify Him? Does He increase? I want us to look here in our text and I want to give you some practical things. I want to challenge us this morning concerning this thing of living a life that magnifies Christ. And I want to give you three thoughts this morning about how you and I can live a life that magnifies Christ. Let me give you the first one. Number one in your handout, we can make Christ look great, magnify Him, by exercising a complete dependence on Christ. And let's say that again. By exercising a complete what? Dependence on Christ. Now, Paul was in the middle of a real tough situation. He's in prison. He's been preaching the gospel. And now he's got, by the way, you remember what we talked about a few weeks ago? There were supposed believers out there trying to pour salt in the wound. And they're out there trying to make things tougher on Paul. He's in prison and they're trying to hurt him further by things they're doing and saying out there. So Paul has unbelievers that have, put him in prison. He's got believers out there trying to pour salt in the wound, but yet in verse 19, he's a man at total peace. Look at it. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." That word salvation, he doesn't mean salvation of his soul. He's not talking about eternal salvation in heaven. That word salvation means rescue. It means safety. He's talking about his situation in prison. He said, "I know this shall turn to my salvation, my deliverance, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Paul says, you know what? I know everything's going to be all right. And I know I'm going to be delivered out of this situation one way or the other. Now, what was the source of Paul's peace? What was the source, church, of his confidence? Was it because he had political connections? Was it because he had people, that were influential, pulling strings for him in high places? What was it that made Paul, sitting here in prison, he's sitting over here in prison, and he writes to the Philippians, you know what? All these bad things have happened. I'm in prison. You know people are pouring salt in the wound. But you know what? I know that this is all going to turn to my salvation. He said, I know everything's going to be all right. He writes that. Now, how could Paul be sitting in prison and have such peace and have such confidence? Two things in your handout. You got it? Ready? Ready to write? Number one, the prayers of God's people. Number two, the supply of God's Spirit. The supply of God's Spirit. Look with me again at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn... I'm in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. How? How, Paul? How do you know that? Number one, through your what? Prayer. Number two, the supply of the what? Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hey, Paul was a man of prayer. And Paul knew that he had other people praying for him. And Paul's dependence was on God, the God who hears and answers prayer. You know, I like in your handout a verse that kind of goes along with this. It's in Philemon 22. He's writing again from prison, and he's writing to Philemon. And he says, but withal, prepare me also a lodging. In other words, Philemon, prepare me a room. Why? For I trust that through your what? Prayers, I shall be given unto you. Turn with me just a few pages to the right. Colossians chapter 4, right after Philippians. Colossians 4, let's start in verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. Look at it with me, church. Are you glad to have God's Word this morning? Amen? Amen. Boy, isn't it great? Look at Colossians 4, 2. Paul says, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us. Paul says, man, make sure we're on your prayer list. Why? That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does it excite you when other people say they're praying for you? Does that excite you? Man, let me tell you something. If it doesn't, then that means our dependence isn't on God. And how are we going to magnify Christ if our dependence isn't on God? We said in our handout, the very first way that we magnify Christ is by going out and exercising a complete dependence on Christ. And the way we do that is this thing of prayer. Prayer. Does it excite you when people say they're praying for you? I mean, does it... Listen, when somebody comes to us, whether it's a member of your life group or maybe it's one of the pastors here at the church, when somebody comes to you and says, I'm praying for you, man, that ought to turn our crank. Man, that ought to get us excited. That ought to get us all pumped up if we're depending on Christ. Man, I love it when people come to me and say, Pastor Dan, I'm praying for you. I cannot begin to tell you what that means to me. They're praying for me. They're talking to God about me. Me. They're calling my name out to God Almighty. Do you know there are people who live and die, whether it's 60 years, 70 years, 80... There are people who are born into the world and die and never have one person ever call their name out to God in prayer. Isn't that a sobering thought? Does it mean something to you when people say they're praying for you? It means more to me than you could ever imagine. How about you, Brother Rob? Doesn't it mean something to you when people say, Brother Rob, I know you're our youth director. You got a 100-something teenagers that are in your care. I'm praying for you. Does that mean something to you? He said it means the world. I know this man well enough to know that if you came up to him and you said, Brother Rob, if you gave him a choice and you said, you can have my prayers for a year or $1,000 cash, I know him well enough to know he'd say, I'll take both. See the delayed response? Everybody's like, did he really say that? I'm teasing. Brother Rob, you would take the prayers. You'd take the $1,000, I know, but he would take the prayers, and so would I. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's nothing like people praying for you. Amen. Brother Norm, you know about that, don't you, brother? Amen. Hey, he said, number two, Not only did he have total peace in this thing because of the prayers of God's people, what's the second thing there? The supply of God's Spirit. I want you to look at a verse there in your handout. Romans 8:9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell," where? "In you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," in other words, God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is not in you. Look what the Bible says. He is none of His. You're not a child of God if God's Spirit doesn't live within you. Did you know if you're saved today, the Holy Spirit lives within you to give you grace in every situation? Did you know the Holy Spirit is there to supply? He talks about the supply of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to supply for you peace, comfort. The Holy Spirit is there to give you provisions that you need to magnify Christ in every situation. His Spirit enables you and provides for you so that you can magnify Christ no matter the situation. Is there a situation where I'm unable to magnify Christ? If there was, that would mean I'd have to lose God's Spirit. And that's an impossibility. If God's Spirit lives within me, then that means there is no situation with which I cannot magnify my Savior. I don't know what you're going through today. I'm sure in a crowd this size, and in the 9:30 service, it's packed in here, and I'm sure in a crowd this size, some of you are going through some catastrophic situations. Maybe you're battling some type of terminal illness. Maybe you are battling some kind of just absolute catastrophe in your life. Maybe a child or a grandchild. Maybe somebody has broken your heart. Maybe some of you are on the verge of a divorce. I don't know what it could be, but I know that many of you today are going through some incredibly difficult situations in your life. And I can assure you, I don't know all that you're going through, no more than you know what I'm going through in my life right now. But I do know this: if you're saved, you're not going through it alone. I can assure you, God's Spirit lives within you, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ will give you all that you need if you depend on Him. You know, when I go in the morning to get a shower and I go to turn my shower on, Brother John Lynch back there, I'm not a plumber, Brother John. You know that, don't you? Brother John says, I don't know a wrench from a screwdriver. But I'm not a plumber, but you know what? I just know that when I turn that lever, water comes out. And I know there's some kind of piping in there that's hooked up to it. And I guess it comes in here and then it goes down the shower. It goes down in there in the floor somewhere. Goes underneath the house. And then it goes out there in the yard to the meter. And then from there, I don't know where it goes. How's that for an explanation of plumbing? You like that? That's pretty good, wasn't it? Son of a plumber right here. Did I get too technical for you, Brother Rob, on that? But you know, I don't know how it all works, but you know what? There has not been one morning that I ever remember where I wake up in the morning and I look at that shower and I go, oh man, I'm so worried that water may not come out this morning. I'm so concerned about it. Oh, please let water come out, please. And then I turn that lever and I go, oh, water! I never do that. You know what? I turn the lever. And what do I expect? Water. Let me ask you something. If in my mind there's an endless supply of water and I don't have to worry about it, is there any reason to worry why God's Holy Spirit won't give you the grace you need? There's an endless supply of power, an endless supply of grace, an endless supply of peace, an endless supply of comfort. The Holy Spirit is there. And Paul said, you know what, I'm in a rough situation, but I got total peace because of the prayer of God's people and the supply of God's Spirit that lives within me. And if we depend solely on Christ and His indwelling Holy Spirit and the prayers of God's people, we will magnify Christ through every trial, through every difficulty of life. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does your daily life make Christ look great? Number two, How can we make Christ look great? By possessing a determination to stand for Christ. I absolutely love the resolute determination of Paul. Go back with me to our text, Philippians 1, if you'll turn back there. I love the determination of Paul. You know, Paul wasn't always in prison. Many of you in here know, Paul was a great church planter. He went out winning souls and planting churches. Paul went out and had some very prosperous journeys planting churches and winning souls. And when Paul was out there free, you know what he did? Look, turn your hand out over. Let me show you his attitude. Romans 1:16. Here was his attitude. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, he wrote that when he was free. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Paul would go from city to city, not ashamed of the gospel, boldly proclaiming the gospel. But you know what? Now it's landed him in prison. Now he suffered persecution. Not everybody liked it. Not everybody patted him on the back. Not everybody thought Paul was great for preaching the gospel of Christ. And for preaching it, it landed him in prison. And you know what the temptation would be? The temptation would be to compromise a little bit now that he's in prison. The temptation would be to back off the message somewhat. The temptation would be to tone it down a little bit. But Paul expresses in verse 20 his determination that he would continue to boldly stand for Christ. Look with me at verse 20. It's one of my favorite. Look at this. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness. Now I like the next phrase. As always, and then what's the next three words? So now also. Say that with me, as also. As always. Ready? Say it with me. As always, so now also. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, you know what? This is what I did, and this is what I was when I was free. And this is what I am, and this is what I'm going to continue to do, even in the midst of this trial. As always, when I was free, so now also when I'm in prison, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be by life or by death. Paul is saying, no matter what, no matter which way this thing goes, no matter whether it's death and I'm executed, or whether it's life and I'm set free, I want to boldly magnify Jesus Christ. If we're going to magnify Christ, folks, we've got to have that determination. I think about, Brother Rob, I think about some of our junior high boys. And some of them were sitting on the front row, and they were sitting right there in the 9:30 service. And some of our junior high boys have started a Bible study Christian group at their middle school. Started it. And the name of the group is something Warriors. What is it? Silver Sands Christian Warriors. And they've started this club. Did you know that's the first Christian club that's ever started at Silver Sands? And it's kids from this church that started it. Isn't that exciting? You know what I told them, though? I said, you know, you can stand for Christ and do all that when it's new and it's exciting and it's exhilarating and it's, you know, everybody's all pumped and excited. I said, but what about 6 months down the road when maybe you're not invited to some of the parties because of this? Or maybe you're made fun of at school because of this. What happens when you start getting some persecution and not everybody's patting you on the back anymore? Will you say, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body? Sometimes young people go off to college. And they go off to college and they stray from the Lord because they don't have Paul's attitude. That no matter the situation, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether I'm home, whether I'm at college, whether I'm at church, or whether I'm at school. Whether I'm in my life group, whether I'm at work. As always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. In other words, you know what? This is what I am, Paul says. Man, I'm a Christian. That's what I am. I'm a Bible believer. That's what I am. So as always, so now also, I'm going to be who I am. I am a Christian. I am a God lover. I am one who loves Jesus. I am one who lives for Him. And that's who I am. Like old Popeye said, I am what I am. That's just who I am. And whether I'm here or at work, that's who I am. And I'm going to magnify Christ. Whether I'm with a bunch of guys from the life group or whether I'm with a bunch of guys from the ball team that really have no use for Christ. Man, I am what I am. It's who I am. This is what I am. I love Jesus. And I'm going to magnify Christ in my body. So many Christians lose their testimony for Christ when they go through trials or they encounter persecution. They blame God. They get bitter at God. They fly off the handle, wallow in self-pity, or if persecution comes, they back off. But Paul says, whether it's good times or bad times, I'm going to magnify Christ. Paul had a bulldog determination. He was going to speak the gospel of Christ no matter what. You ever seen dogs that grab onto a piece of cloth or something, a shirt, you know? Have you ever seen them, those dogs I had, where they clench there, they got real tight jaws, and they'll just clench down on a shirt or something, and they won't let go? Have you ever seen that? I mean, you can actually twirl them around like this, and they won't let go? You ever seen that? That was Paul. Paul said, man, I got a bulldog determination. I'm going to stand for Jesus. And this is what he was always asking people to pray about for him, is that he would keep that determination. Look in your handout at Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. He said, and for me, and by the way, the context here is he wanted him to pray for him. Pray for me. That utterance may be given unto me. Look at this. That I may open my mouth what? Boldly. Say it again. That I may open my mouth what? Boldly. There's nothing wrong with boldness, is there? Boldly. Now again, this doesn't mean that we be mean-spirited. This doesn't mean we're arrogant, doesn't mean we're rude, doesn't mean we're hateful. It just means we're bold. We know what we are, we know what we stand for, we know what we believe. And he said, pray for me that I will open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's writing this from prison. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak, say it again, boldly. And then I like that last part, as I ought to speak. Can I ask you a question this morning? Does your life make Christ look great? Does your life make Christ, your Savior, look great? Does it magnify Christ? The way we do that is by completely depending on Him and then standing for Him. But number three, last thing, is by exhibiting a consuming desire to serve Christ. A consuming desire to serve Christ. Now, deep down, Paul knew that it would be better for him personally to be executed and go to heaven and be with Christ. Look at verse 23. He said, for I am in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with who? Christ. But then look what he says at the end of the verse. He says, that's what? Far better. Now, you know, y'all looking forward to heaven? If they're getting up a busload, you don't want to go today, though, do you? No. Now, you understand here. Now, stay with me. That even though, if somebody came to you today and said, okay, you want to go to heaven so bad? All right, you know, we don't want that. But here's the thing. If you're a Christian today and you know the Lord, even though we may not like be anxious and want to die today, and we're going to see that was Paul's attitude too. But deep down, if you're a Christian in your heart of hearts, deep down in your soul, don't you know deep down that if this was your day, that it would be far better to be with Christ? Don't we know that deep down in our heart? Really, we do. Well, that's what Paul's saying. Deep down in his heart of hearts, he said, you know what? I know it'd be far better for me to go ahead and be executed for this thing, go and be with Christ. But you know what? Something about that scenario didn't sit well with Paul. Was he afraid of dying? No. Here's what bothered him about that scenario of him being executed. Here's what bothered him about that thing. He knew it would end his opportunity to serve Christ and impact lives. Look with me at verse 24 real quickly before we go. Just stay with me a couple minutes here. Verse 24, he said, nevertheless, he knew to depart and be with Christ was far better. Verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, your advancement, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He says, you know what? My concern isn't for me, it's for you. I want to bring advancement to your life. I want to bring joy to your soul. Yes, dying would be his gain. But living would mean that he could help advance Christ in his cause. Living would mean he could continue to serve Christ. Living would mean he could continue to bring forth more spiritual fruit. Look at verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Folks, he did not want to continue living so he could make more money. He didn't want to continue living so he could gain more fame. He didn't want to continue living so he could get a bigger house or a nicer car. Paul said, the reason why I want to continue living, the reason why I'd like to get out of this prison and be able to continue to live, is for me to live is Christ. I can continue to serve my Savior and bring forth fruit for my Savior by impacting lives for Him. When he said, for me to live is Christ, do you know what that means? My reason and purpose for living is Christ. Now, I've got something in your handout, and I really didn't want you to fill it in. I want you to leave it blank. I know what the verse says, but I want you to look at that blank long and hard right now without filling anything in, where it says, for me to live is. And I want you personally to think about how you would fill in that blank. You say, well, Pastor Dan, how do I know what to put in the blank? Whatever the driving passion and zeal of your life is how you would fill the blank in. Now listen, if your driving passion is your job, then you would put, for me to live is my job. If the driving passion of your life are your kids, for me to live is my kids. If the driving passion of your life is your business, for me to live is my business. If the driving passion of your life is to make money, for me to live is to make money. If the driving passion of your life is fame, for me to live is fame. If the driving passion of your life is video games, for me to live is video games. If the driving passion of your life is sports, for me to live is sports. What's the single most driving passion of your life? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That's the driving passion of my life. Hey, do you know why people commit suicide? Listen closely. Let me tell you why people commit suicide. Because they have filled in the blank with something other than Christ. And then usually what happened is whatever they filled in the blank with was taken away from them. And so their entire life, they feel is snatched out from under them, and they take their life. For instance, for me to live is money. Then if I have a financial reversal and I lose all my money, that's why many people will take their life when they have a financial reversal. Because for them to live was money. Some people, for them to live is their spouse. So when their spouse is gone, they have no reason to live anymore. Some people will take their life because a boyfriend broke up with them or a girlfriend broke up with them. Why? For me to live is my boyfriend or my girlfriend. It's a dangerous thing to fill in the blank with anything other than Christ. If for me to live is sports, what happens when I'm old and I'm on a cane? Am I going to always be able to play sports? No. It's a dangerous thing to build my whole life on that. I love my wife dearly. I love her more than any human being on planet Earth. But I could not honestly put in the blank for me to live as Denise. If something would happen to my wife, God forbid, I would hate that. It would just, be terrible. But if something happened to her, there'd be no reason for me to take my life. Because the blank isn't for me to live as Denise. It's for me to live Christ. He's our reason for living. He's our reason for being here. It's a dangerous thing. You know, there's a lot of couples, they build their life around their kids. And their whole life revolves around their kids. And then after 25 years of marriage, you hear people divorcing. For them to live was their kids. They built everything around their kids. They did nothing to deepen their own personal marital relationship through Christ. And so now the kids are gone. Hey, if for me to live is my kids, what happens when they grow up and they leave? Somebody in the early service said, you have a party. But seriously, if I built my whole life around them and my wife's built my whole life around them, then when they're gone, many times couples do this. Do you want to know why couples divorce? Because they both fill in the blank differently. One person fills it in, maybe for me to live is money. The other one is, for me to live is the kids. Or if one says for me to live is my job, and the other one says, well, for me to live is my college. And so they fill it in differently. One of them says for me to live is a bigger house, but the other one doesn't care about that. You know, for me to live is a Bahama cruise. Go out and vacation, party, have a big time. The other one wants to, you know, and they fill in the blank differently. But you know what happens when you get a husband and wife that both fill it in for me to live as Christ? But you got the makings of a great marriage right there. When they're both agreed that for us to live is Christ. In your handout, it says if we're going to magnify Christ, there must be a consuming passion to serve Him. Hey, in your handout, get this statement. What does it mean for me to live is Christ? It means He is the focus of our lives. He is the center of all that we do. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ liveth in me. Christian, after you were saved, God left you here on the earth for the purpose of magnifying His Son. I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked you 3 or 4 times. And don't answer out loud. Just answer it in your heart. Does your life make Christ look great? Does your life magnify Him? In your handout it says, as you magnify Christ, the lives of others will be greatly impacted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. If today, nobody looking, let's all just stay in an attitude of prayer. If today was the day that you were to die, of course none of us know when that will be. But if today was your day that you died, do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? And do you know that you would be with God if you were to die today? How many of you in here this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just as a testimony, would say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, I'm 100% sure. Would you raise your hand if you know that for sure? You'd say, I've accepted Christ, I know I'm saved. Amen. Put your hands down. Is there anyone in here who would say, Pastor Dan, pray for me? Nobody's looking. But you'd say, Pastor Dan, pray for me. Because if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I go to heaven. Thank you. Anybody else, you can put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it back down. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else that'd say, Pastor Dan, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I go to heaven. I've not lifted my hand yet. But I want you to pray for me because I'm not sure I got that settled. Anybody else? Thank you. In the balcony. Anybody else? I know Christians are praying all over the building right now. Because we've all been in that position where we just don't know for sure. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, if you want to get that settled today, I'm going to have my wife, Rob Hall, our youth director, his wife, several, Pastor Todd. I'm going to have them stand up here at the aisle. I'm going to have Rob and Todd stand up here with me. We have ladies who will work with ladies, men with men. If you want to know for sure that if you die today, you go to heaven, why don't you come forward in just a moment? No one's going to be looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to know for sure that you're saved, that you have been forgiven of all sins, you come. They'll meet you at the nearest aisle. And we'll take you back privately and help you get that settled. Let's pray. Father, we pray now, God, that you'll bless the invitation time. We pray, Father, that, Lord, those who raise their hands, I want to pray for them, that they will get that peace and get that settled today. They'll come to a place, Lord, of just total trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us know if we have tomorrow. And it's so important that we get this thing settled and know that we're your child. Know that if we die today, we'll be with you. So, Father, we love you now. Pray that you'll bless this time in Jesus' name. Pastor Todd, if you'll come stand right over here at this aisle. Brother Rob over here. And we're going to stand to our feet right now. And let's all stay in an attitude of prayer. If you would like to come, we're here to meet you. Everybody stay in an attitude of prayer. And if you'd like to know how to be saved, you would like to know how to for sure that you're going to heaven, you come right now. Just come right now. Let us take the Bible and show you. We had a dear lady come forward in the 9:30 service. We would love for you to come. We're here to help you. We're glad you're here. And I know Christians are praying. If you need to come, you come. Let's get that thing settled today. Know for sure that you're a child of God. Know for sure that you're saved. Fully forgiven and on your way to heaven. Let's play another verse, please. If you need to come, you come. We want to give you time. Let's get that thing settled. Christians, be praying. Step out and come. Would you like to know for sure that you're saved? Know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Brother Rob's here, Pastor Todd, myself. Our wives are here. We invite you to come. We'll take you aside privately and show you from the Bible how you can know you're saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for the tenderness of your people. And Lord, I just sense today, Lord, that so many here this morning, Lord, received your word with readiness of heart and mind. And Lord, I know your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and lives. And Father, there may be people here today that just need to be saved. Lord, they need so much to come into a relationship with you. Oh, how I pray they'll get that settled. And Father, if they're, Lord God, not getting that settled today, may they come back next week and hear more. And Lord, I pray they'll come to that point of decision where they will choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put their faith and their trust in Him.